God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit give us insight and wisdom into His covenant in His blood, in the name of Jesus. The last devotion I did was on the new covenant is for the weak. The old covenant was for the strong. And what's interesting is this very verse where Jesus says, I didn't come for the righteous, but I came for the sinner. I didn't come for the well. I came for those who need a physician. Where we're expounding that the new covenant, Jesus, let's be clear, the life of the Father, the only righteous life that there is, He is not for the successful. He is not for the strong. He is not for the so-called righteous. He is for the weak. He is for the failure. He is for the one that the law has broken. And immediately in the same portion of Scripture there in Luke, He begins to deal with mixing of the two covenants. And He's talking about something the Jews had no clue what He was talking about. And Christians don't either. He's talking something very deep about mixing the two covenants. Right after He says, I didn't come for the well, He says that you cannot pour new wine into an old wine. Right after He says this, let's look at it. He said, I didn't come, Jesus said unto them in verse 31 in Luke chapter 5, He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to metanoeo, to repentance, to perceive everything differently. I didn't come to call those who are doing well to see the truth. I came to call those who have failed. I came to call the sinner. I came to call the broken man. I came to call the poor man and the lame man. I came to call them to perceive everything differently. See, the life of the Father comes to the failure, comes to the broken one. Oh, hallelujah. So look, let's go right after He says this. And they said unto Him, right immediately, immediate. This is the Holy Ghost, friend. This is not just some different question all of a sudden. This is the Holy Spirit. Everything is revealing the truth. Immediately they said to Him, why do the disciples of John, the greatest old covenant prophet, Jesus said, why did the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise, the disciples of the Pharisees, why are these old covenant people behaving this way? But your disciples eat and drink. They don't behave like the old covenant disciples. And Jesus said unto them, can you make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom's with them? But the days will come when they will be, when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they'll fast in those days. And He spoke a parable unto them. Now He had just said, I didn't come for the strong. I didn't come for the righteous. The life of the Father came to the failure, to the broken one. He's dealing with the new covenant. The new covenant's not for the strong. The old covenant was. The new covenant in His blood is for the one who found out through the old one that they are not good, that they are not righteous, and that they cannot do what God wants them to do. And then He begins to tell them a parable. They immediately ask Him right after He said that, why don't your disciples behave like the old covenant disciples? It's all about two covenants. So He starts to tell them a parable. You can't take new wine and put it into an old wineskin. You can't sew a patch of new cloth onto an old garment. He begins to tell them this parable. He's trying to tell them, you cannot mix the two covenants. If you do mix them, it will result in failure. That's the parable. If you mix the two covenants, it will result in failure. Now, stop right here. Let's really listen to the Spirit here. What is God trying to tell us? At first, He says He didn't, the life says, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sick. I came for the sinner. I came for the failure. I came. The life of the Father has come to call them to perceive everything differently than man has ever seen it before. God used the old covenant to arouse our sinful passion, to show us what we are, so that we would be willing to hear and see and believe in the life of the Father, Jesus Christ. We would know what our life is, and we would reject it so that we can have His. And then immediately they're like, well, why don't your disciples behave like the old covenant disciples? And Jesus begins to tell them a parable. You cannot mix the two covenants. If you do so, it will result in failure. And one of the most amazing verses he says here, in the end of that, he says in verse 39, at the end of this parable, he said, no man having drunk the old wine straightway, which means immediately or right away, desires the new. Any person who has been old covenant minded, who has believed at any time that if I'll obey God, I'll be blessed, and if they've lived like that for any amount of time, they will not straight away, they will not immediately like or desire the new wine, because Jesus said they will say, they will believe, they will think the old wine is better. Now, every bit of this is about two parables, all of it. So Jesus is saying any person who's ever thought that if I'll be good, and tries to be good for God, if I'll obey God, obey, follow God's commandments, if I'll do what God said to do, I'll be blessed. When the new wine is offered to them, they don't right away like it. They don't right away desire it, because in their conscience, they think the old is better. To do what God said to do and to be blessed is better than hate your own life and reject it, because it can never do what God says to do and be blessed. Now think about that. Any person who's lived like, man, if I'll obey God, I'm going to be blessed. You come tell them, friend, you'll never be able to obey God, and you'll never be truly blessed. If you do not hate your own life, you're going to lose it. They will not want to drink that. They will immediately think the old is better. I remember a young pastor, I was attending his church, and I'd been talking to him about the gospel, the true gospel. He doesn't know it. He still doesn't. But he began to get some of the things that I was talking to him about. And he got up in the service one day, and as a rejection of the new wine, he made this statement, and it was so Holy Ghost, absolute powerful. And he had no idea what he was saying. But he got up and he told his church, because he'd been talking to me and I've been trying to give him the new wine. And this is the statement he made. He said, if I can't do what God said to do, then my life is not worth living. Oh my goodness, when he said that, friend, that is the truth. But he was saying it to reject the new wine. And I'm not putting him down. Adam always will reject the new wine. Anybody who thinks, especially a prosperity preacher or somebody who thinks if I'll obey God and give tithes and give offerings, he's going to make me rich, he's going to bless me, he's going to make my life successful. If anybody thinks like that, when you begin to try to offer them the new wine and tell them you can't do what God says to do, and it's going to result in you being cursed, friend, they will reject it. And when I gave him the new wine, his response was, if I can't do what God says to do, then my life is not worth living. And that is the truth. That was the most true statement he made through the entire sermon. And he wasn't making it to actually say his life wasn't worth living, which is the truth. He was making that statement to reject that premise that he could not do what God says to do, which he can't. And that's the truth. So what he said is true for all of us. If I can't do what God says to do, then my life is not worth living. Friend, when you realize you cannot do what God says to do, you will finally wake up and realize Your life is not worth living, and now you're ready for the life of Jesus Christ. Until you realize you cannot do what God says to do, you will never realize your life is not worth living. That's one of the greatest statements I've ever heard come out of the life of Adam. Now, if he could just realize, if Adam, if that pastor, if all Adams could just realize that is the truth, our life is not worth living. That is why Jesus took it to the cross. Oh my goodness, if I had an hour, I'd hit every aspect of Adam's life. Our reproducing ourselves, our giving in marriage, all of these things are so symbolic. There's so much there that God is trying to show us. That's why they are all temporary things. Man was not made to get married and have children. Man was made to rule God's kingdom, to sit at his right hand. All of the things that Adam is experiencing in this world are to show him his life is not worth living. He must reject it. He must give up his independent life and believe in the life of Jesus, which is the true life of Adam that God intended from the very beginning. That's why it calls him the last Adam. He's the Adam God had in mind. The Adam God had in mind is the one who does nothing unless he sees his father do it. It's the one who says nothing unless he hears his father say it. It's the one who is a vessel for the father. He doesn't do anything, cannot do anything of his own self. He sits on God's throne and the Father flows through him. And all that he sees the Father do, he does. All that he hears the Father say, he says. And he has unlimited power, unlimited glory, unlimited authority because he's a yielded vessel 100%. This is the Adam God intended from the very beginning. He never wanted us to have our own independent life, but he gave us that opportunity on purpose. And allowed us to experience it on purpose so that we would reject it eternally, so that we wouldn't want it, so we would see what it results in. He wants us to see what our own life, our own independence, our own thoughts, our own idea will result in. Everything Adam touches, the first Adam, everything we touch, we corrupt. Everything we reproduce, everything we produce, is tainted and brings us to sorrow. Everything, it sounds dark, but it's a fact. Everything in the life of the first Adam ends in death, in sorrow, and in pain. Everything. Everything else is make-believe. All of our movies, all of our TV shows, all of our ideas about life, it's all make-believe. We don't want anybody to really know what's going on behind the curtain. We fool our own self and deceive our own self. We are all in pain. We are all in misery. And everything we touch, we corrupt it. Even when we're spiritual, even when we pray all the time, even when we try to do what God says to do, the most deceptive thing is sometimes things go well for us because we're pretty obedient. We do a lot of what God says to do, but it will always end in death, always in death and in sorrow. It will always end that way. For the most faithful man, his life may end in disastrous cancer, or his kids may. I don't want to speak curses on us, but I don't have to speak it on us. It's already on us. All of the life of the first Adam is cursed. That's why it had to die. It had to be taken to the cross, and it had to be crucified once and for all, so that we could have the life of the last Adam. But the only way, friend, we can have the life of Jesus is not by saying a sinner's prayer. It's not by going to church. It's not even by getting baptized. Most people get baptized, they have no idea what it even means. They think they're making some kind of public profession that they're going to be a Christian now. Friend, baptism is identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. It's rejecting your own life 100%. I don't want my life. I hate it. I don't want it. I don't want him to bless it. I'm not asking his favor on it. I want the life of Jesus. Oh, my God. Goodness, beloved, in Jesus' name, may God open our eyes to the truth. Oh, yesterday or the day, now day before yesterday, I was working, laying some tile, and I had a black trash bag among my tools that I thought was thin set. It's cement that you put under tile. You have to mix with water, put it on the ground, then you put the tile on it. That's how it sticks to the ground. So I thought that bag used to be cement. I had a black bag in my garage there with my tools, and it was cement, but it was actually gray thin set. But they have that cement in gray and white. Well, I've been using white lately, and I grabbed that trash bag out of my garage and opened it up, and it was white powder, which is exactly what the white thin set looks like, but it looked more powdery, different consistency. But I thought, well, it's thin set. So I poured it in the bucket and put water in, and it looked so smooth and so strange. It looked totally different than the thin set. But I had a bag, a brand new bag of thin set. So I mixed it. Going somewhere with this. I mixed it. And when I mixed it, it began to get this hard, terrible consistency right away and completely ruined it. And I realized while it was happening, oh my goodness, the bag sitting in my garage was sheetrock mud. It's called hot mud. It's like 20-minute mud. You mix it with water and you can do sheetrock repairs, but it gets hard really quick, so you got to do the repairs really fast. I mixed sheet. It looked very similar. It looked almost the same. I couldn't tell the difference. I could only see a slight difference. I knew something was a little bit off, but I thought maybe it's just because it's old. I couldn't tell the difference until I mixed them. And when I mixed them, it ruined the whole batch. And oh my goodness, God was speaking to me about, and I was all day long, I was planning to do this devotion. That's like 2 days ago. I've been thinking about this, about the mixture. I already had these scriptures about the mixture, mixing the covenants. And I got that scripture from the Old Covenant. I'd already posted it here to do it from Deuteronomy, where God says, do not sow your vineyard with two different kinds of seeds. He says, don't plow with an ox and a donkey. Don't wear a garment with mixed materials. He didn't want them mixing different material. What was all that about? It was all God telling us you cannot mix the two covenants. Now, for time's sake, let me just get into a little bit of some revelation here of how we can stop mixing and why we mix. We cannot tell the difference between the two. There's no way you can really tell the difference between obey God and you'll be blessed, don't and you'll be cursed. That's the law of Moses. And believe in the life of the last Adam and reject your own. You can't tell the difference between those two. It's impossible without a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And not just you, beloved, as an individual. First of all, we're not an individual. We are in a body. We're either in the body of the first Adam or the body of the last Adam. But the body of Christ right now is not doing what Christ did, not in the same level, not in the same amount of power. And Jesus said, not only would we do what he did, but we'll do greater than he did. It should be normal to raise the dead, to walk on the water, to tell the trees what to do. It should be normal. And in the very last season, where the tares are removed and the sons of God awaken, awaken to the truth and reject this world and reject this life of Adam, when they do it, we will see the power of the kingdom manifest in a final season. And that's where the Spirit is out poured on all flesh, and God reveals that the cross worked, but it will be the true message of the cross. Oh my goodness. But until that time, the reason it doesn't manifest is because the body has not come into the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus and the faith of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, the body has not come into the full stature of Jesus Christ. It doesn't fully understand yet. Everything in the epistles, everything in the word tells us we are going somewhere. It talks about the maturity. It talks about entering into the fullness. It talks about God revealing things step by step. Amen. Jesus went to the cross so in the ages to come, God will reveal the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. Everything is about the truth being revealed by the Spirit to the last, to the body of the last Adam in the earth. And until they get it, until they really understand the truth, they will not be free and they will not walk as true sons of God in the earth. They will, and here's why. They will continue to mix the two covenants, and as long as they do, it will result in failure. God has been trying to tell me as an individual about the new covenant clearly since 1995, actually before then, but I began to get it. He started in 1992, into 92, 93, really started to just give me little crumbs. But in 95, he began to give me some pieces of meat. And I really began to understand it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. It took well over 20 years of him talking to me and studying and pursuing and going through all kinds of troubles to really begin to grasp the differences of the two covenants. And still today, I find myself mixing and not realizing it. I almost don't do it anymore. I don't know how much. I guess if I could see through his eyes, I probably still do it a lot and don't realize it because I compare myself with others and I see how they do it so much. But I could not figure out how do I stop trying to be righteous for God? How do I stop believing that if I'll do what God says to do, I'll be blessed? How do I leave that idea? How do I abandon that idea? How do I reject my own life? How do I stop wanting God to bless my life? How do I believe that I died? It doesn't even make sense. How do I believe in this life of the last Adam? What does it mean not to mind anything here, but to mind what is up there because I died? My life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. I am seated with him at his right hand. And I'm not supposed to mind anything down here. That is impossible. I can't figure out how to do that. Only the Holy Spirit can lead us into all of the truth until we fully reject this life of Adam and fully lay hold of the life of the last one. That is why the Holy Spirit is the most vital. He's the most vital thing, the most vital person in our life, in this world. He's here to lead us into all of the truth. And when we know the truth, it will make us free. We will stop mixing the two covenants. The greatest preachers in the world are preachers who constantly mix and don't realize it. They are mixed. They don't know any different. To them, it would be insanity not to preach, obey God and you'll be blessed. It would be insanity not to tell Adam he better be better. He better stop sinning. It would be insanity to stop doing that. Why? Because once you have had the old, for someone to hand you the new wine, you don't right away desire it because you think the old is better. You think the old is better. That's why they could not receive Jesus. He didn't make any sense. He came saying, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, if you've lusted in your heart," he made them all adulterers with what he was saying. And they believed that some men were adulterers and some were not. Jesus made them all murderers with what he was saying. But they believed some men were murderers and some were not. So when he did that, oh my goodness, they did not desire the new wine. They didn't like what he was saying. They thought what Moses said was much better. It made much more sense. That if you murder, thou shalt not commit murder. That made much more sense to them than you are all murderers. That's why you have to die. And that's why I am the only answer. It doesn't make any sense to Adam to tell him that he can't do what God says to do. And his life is not worth living. It doesn't make any sense to him. And so this is why we walk in darkness. And friend, oh my goodness, the pain that we will experience if we continue to walk in darkness, even if we escape the pain for a long time, it's coming. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me again this morning, and it makes me tremble. the coming wrath of God will be exposed against all unrighteousness. And it begins with the house of God. It begins with those who have Christ in them. Everything we do that is not holy, everything we do that is not the life of Jesus Christ manifesting, is going to be judged with the wrath of God. We are going to suffer in every area where we are not walking in life. And friend, every one of us have those areas where we are walking in the old man. We're not walking in the new, and we will not escape the wrath unless we hate our own life and have totally rejected it. And in any area where we're walking in our own life, there will be suffering. But the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. What is revealed in you through suffering? Christ. Christ is revealed in you when you suffer because you're walking in your own life in any area. Every area where we walk in the life of our fathers, the life of Adam, we will suffer. Those who try to obey God and do what he says to do so they'll be blessed are going to end up in sorrow, death, and misery. Why? Because all who are after the law, all who are after the old covenant, are under a curse. Everyone who still believes, if will obey God, will be blessed, is under a curse. Why? Because none of us can obey God and be blessed. Why? Because there are none who are good. There are none who are righteous. That's why we had to die. That's why the cross was necessary. That's why he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And apart from him, we can do nothing. And if we don't hate our own life, we cannot have his. Oh, my goodness, beloved. Whew, my goodness. Holy Ghost, help you get it. And may God give us the grace to progressively stop mixing the two covenants. Friend, this will take... I hate to even say it. In this life, I don't think anybody can get there without decades of walking with God and really listening, even a lifetime, a whole lifetime of really listening to stop mixing the two covenants. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. They are spiritually discerned. Only the Holy Ghost can help you to stop mixing the covenants, and it is extremely difficult and confusing, and I would even say impossible for any human being to stop mixing the two covenants. We can't do it. Only the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can deliver us from the darkness. The darkness is the mixture. The darkness is not understanding what Jesus actually did and why he had to do it. The darkness is not realizing I can't do what God says to do. It's not realizing my life is not worth living. The darkness is not hating my life. The darkness is loving my life. The darkness is wanting God to bless my life. It is deception, and it's to keep us from the power of the right-hand seat, because that seat has all dominion over Satan. Satan doesn't mind if you get a new car. He doesn't mind if you give big offerings and get a motorcycle and get a car and get a house and get a boat. He doesn't mind that at all. He likes that because you're not doing any damage to him at all. You think God's here to bless you. You think God's here to make your life happy. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. You're not a threat to him at all. What is a threat is when you begin to find out the truth and you begin to hate your own life. Because, oh my goodness, you're in danger of laying hold to the devil. You are in great danger of laying hold of the right-hand seat. And that seat has power and dominion to cast him out and to raise the dead and to drive out the devil everywhere that you go. Oh, Satan has been defeated. But as long as we mix the covenants, as long as we continue to believe what Moses taught and not understand why it didn't work and why it won't work for you, why it won't work for me. One of the most wicked things, I'll close with this, one of the most wicked things you could do is think, well, it will work for me some and temporarily, and I'd rather be happy in this world and have a decent life than suffer and be miserable. That's exactly what the king said when the prophet came and said, your kingdom will be destroyed after you die. And the king said, well, at least it'll be good in my lifetime. It is the most wicked thing a man can do, is to reject the, say, well, the wrath won't be poured out in my generation. You know, if I'll obey God, if I'll do what Moses said to do, I'll give, I'll do all these things to get rich, to be blessed, to have success. If I can have success, oh man, it's much better than that new wine. Woo! I don't want that new wine. That's bitter to the taste. I don't want that new wine. Oh my goodness, how wicked is that? How wicked is that? May God help us to see. May God open our eyes. May God deliver us from our desire for comfort and for success and for happiness, and help us to believe why we had to die, to reject our life and to lay hold of the life of Jesus, to stop mixing the covenants, to understand the difference and begin to enter into what Jesus has already paid for us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.